Hello, everybody, and indeed, welcome to Sammy Says the CEO. How do I mess up the only introduction that I have? Hello, everybody, and indeed, this is... What do I say always? What is wrong with me? You know what it is? I'm in the city. I'm not in Northam right now or on the Great Eastern Highway. I'm actually in Perth. And as a result, I'm driving and I'm stopping at traffic lights and there's a lot of stop start and there's more traffic and I think it's messing up my delivery and my timing and everything. All right, let's give this another shot. 3, 2, 1, here we go. Hello, everybody, and indeed, welcome to Sammy Says. This is me, Sammy Shah, your host, right here behind the microphone and behind the steering wheel. Today is the 17th of September. Which one is it? Who gives a fuck? How are you guys doing? This has been a disaster right from the fucking get-go. Welcome on board. A lot of cursing also, right from the get-go as well. You're listening to Sammy Says. I am in Perth right now, not in Northam, nor on the Great Eastern Highway. I had a meeting at the ABC for some work stuff, so I came down this morning. It is morning. Let's reset. Hi, everyone. It's the 17th of September / October / who knows. And this is me, Sammy Shah, right here behind the microphone and behind the steering wheel. I am driving in Perth right now on a sunny, sunny afternoon. It's 12:39 p.m. as we speak. So just getting into midday or just past midday, however you calculate your middays, who knows what your culture says about midday. Mine says 12 o'clock is midday. So if for me, it's a little past midday. And then I'm in Perth. I went to the ABC for a meeting. After the meeting, I decided to get some food in town because the only food options when you don't cook anything in Northam are the McDonald's or the Macca's, as it's more colloquially known, or the Red Rooster, which is kind of like what would happen if someone took chicken and then boiled it in tepid water for 5 minutes and then served it to you with the skin still freshly pink. So that wasn't something I was willing to try out. So I figured while I'm here, I might as well get something good to eat. And I went to a Singaporean restaurant and had some mee goreng, which I love sometimes. And now I am driving back to Northam because my daughter gets out of school at 3 o'clock. It's an hour and a half long drive home. It's 12:30 right now. It's 12:40 now. So by the time I do get home, it'll be, you know, I'll have enough time to like get back, use the toilet, wash up, and then go and pick her up from school. Fascinating, I know, just how is this podcast not given an award for like the greatest bit of entertainment in the history of mankind, with awesome information nuggets like that. But yeah, it is where it is, man. That's my life. It's sunny out, it's really warm, winter, I think we've seen the last wisps of winter. Wisps of Winter, of course, is George R. R. Martin's new novella, which is going to be all about writing about the Song of Ice and Fire. That was a good fucking joke. I deserve more for that shit. And it's warm. It's actually practically hot right now, which means time to break out the sunblock again and slather myself up with that. Otherwise, I will get skin cancer because in Australia, the sun doesn't just heat you. The sun fucking kills you. And why the hell not? Everything else is out to get you right now. Everyone on planet Earth at this point, not in Australia, has emailed every Australian the ABC article about a boa constrictor or a python or whatever found in someone's toilet. And they're just like, what the fuck is going on over there? All my friends in Pakistan are like, where are you? And I'm like, that's just how it is, man. You go, you take a shit on a snake's head. And that's how you start your day every day. That's just how we live life out here in Australia. In sunny, sunny, cancerous, snake-riddled Australia. It's a good day today. It's not a bad day at all. I had a good meeting. I had a good food in my belly. And now I'm driving home to pick up my child, which is always a treat. She doesn't stop talking, but other than that, it's great. And we're going to chill out at home. We're going to do cool things. We're going to have fun times. I don't have any gigs today. I haven't had any gigs this week. In fact, I think the only show I had was on Monday, which was interesting because Monday, you might also know, this past Monday, as the day when the world became a better place. It really did. Why do you ask? Did they cure cancer? No. Did they fix global warming? No. Did the suffering and of poor children everywhere be alleviated? No. Did AIDS get somehow cured? No. Even better, Tony Abbott got kicked the fuck out. That's right, Tony Abbott, that fucking cocksucker, got kicked the fuck out of Australian government, and nothing could be better for all of humanity. He's been consigned to the rubbish bin of mediocrity from whence he fucking rose. Oh my God, happy days. It was so great. I'm a political junkie, man. This is the shit that gets me hard. Like, it really is. Political chaos? Nothing excites me more. I start vibrating with joy. And on Monday afternoon, like, no, morning actually, when the rumour started swirling of what is now known as Lib Spill, which is the spill in the Liberal Party. In Australia, for those of you not in Australia, the Liberal Party is the major political party that's conservative. In Australia, we like to do everything opposite. Our drains swirl in the opposite direction, and we call Liberals conservative and conservatives liberal. And so Tony Abbott, who's the head of the Liberal Party and the Prime Minister of Australia and representative of all that is shitty and foul in this world, it was a coup against him. That's there's no better way to describe it. And he was ousted from power, which is also a great little description. And the only thing that could have made this day greater was if it had ended with, you know, Malcolm Turnbull, the new Prime Minister, then taking him on national television and putting two in the back of his head. But Australians don't do things that way, man. Like, it's still, I think it's still, they've gotten the coups down pat, but they haven't gotten to the execution portion, live execution portion of governmental management. Give it time. But it was pretty fucking fantastic. I was vibrating all day. I was on Twitter. I was on Facebook. I was watching the news. I had the radio going. That's the shit that, man, I was so excited. I was wishing I was back in a newsroom, in the producer's chair. I was watching the news bulletin. And the moment the Liberal Party went inside to have the secret ballot, I knew that right now every news producer in Australia is pissed because now there's no new content coming in. So now they got to buy time somehow. And how do you buy time? You run first an 8-minute package on Malcolm Turnbull's life. Then you run an 8-minute package looking back on Tony Abbott's political career recently. And then you run Vox Pops, and then you go back to an anchor who doesn't recap, and then you, and just fucking, I knew, I called all of it. It was so much fun. It was so much fun. And I had to drive down an hour before they were going to announce who the new Prime Minister was, and it was in a secret ballot, and it could have gone either way. I had to drive down to Infinite Jest because it was an open mic thing, and I had to try out five new minutes of material because this weekend is Rotofest, which is now one sleep away. You know, if I'm going to calculate things in 5-year-old terms, and I went down to Infinite Jest, which is the open mic night, to try out five minutes of material that I want to kind of hone for Rotofest, and I'm standing backstage. And no one gives a shit. Except for me, no one gives a shit because everyone else is young and they have beards, and but they're not like beards like mine, which are earned through years of man growth and hardened, wizened learning. But just hipster fucking beards and an ironic detachment with reality and basic just oozing apathy from their pores like pheromones. And no one gave a shit. And I was standing in the back of this room, crowded with people, and everyone's listening to the witty observations of comedian after comedian, and I am losing my mind with stress as the vote count is, you know, getting closer and closer. And then I think 5 minutes before I went up on stage, they announced Tony Abbott's no longer the Prime Minister, it's Malcolm Turnbull. And I turned to the three comedians next to me, and I was like, holy fuck, we have a new Prime Minister. And all three of them go, wait, what's happening now? And I was like, God damn it. And so I jump up on stage when it's my turn, and I just yelled and screamed gloriously. And I cheered and ululated, and I did everything short of just stripping down and running around the stage in a circle while peeing in excitement. It was fantastic. It was such a great feeling. And not because I think Malcolm Turnbull's any better if you're one of those people who's just, I'm not an idiot, I'm not naive, I know what this means. I can provide a long reasoned analysis. In fact, I've actually done that on radio several times. But no, I think what it comes down to is this isn't, I wasn't celebrating Malcolm Turnbull being the new Prime Minister, I was celebrating Tony Abbott no longer being the Prime Minister, because if there's one person I've hated for the last 3 years, it's him and his front bench of fucking, you know, Peter Dutton and Scott Morrison and George Brandeis and all these fuckers who should be tried in The Hague. It was great, it really was. It was fucking fantastic, man. It really felt good. It kind of gave me a little bit of optimism and a little bit of hope. Like, do you remember when, I think the last time I kind of felt a little bit of optimism and hope was the Obama election, maybe, the first 2008 Obama election, and then obviously the reality and cynicism kind of seeps in and stuff, but this wasn't on par with that, but it was pretty cool. It was a good feeling. So that's how I spent Monday. I jumped up and I ran around, and then I didn't finish just to record everyone's set, so they gave me the clip and I posted up, bunged it up on my Facebook wall, and then shit got weird. So what happened is that in my set I did a joke about Bill Shorten, who is the opposition leader in Australia. He's the leader of the Labour Party, which is the other large political party in Australia, and Bill Shorten's the leader of the opposition. And he is, I think the best way to describe him would be as lacking the personality, charm, and charisma of a piece of wet cardboard, even. Just a fucking dullard of a human being with no personal opinions. Like the perfect political creature, you know, just he fits any situation. Like he forms to the container in which he is poured, I think is the best way to describe Bill Shorten. And then, so I bunged it up on my Facebook wall, and just thinking, this will get some views and whatever. And I thought it was fun. I got to riff. I don't have any clips of me riffing, which is something I enjoy doing. And that's that. Actually, there's this comedian named JD in Perth, and he's probably listening to this podcast right now. So fuck you, JD. But no, he's a good guy, and he wrote a blog once about he saw me perform at an open mic night in Perth, and it was one of those things where I had just gotten to the club, and they were playing Dirty Dancing on TV downstairs on silent, like, you know, there's one of those, like, in clubs they have like a giant screen TV, and they play some, you know, movie on that on silent, and then everyone plays pool underneath that. For some reason, it's supposed to add to the ambience. All it does is makes me want to leave the club and go home and watch the movie that they're playing. And they're playing Dirty Dancing. And I love Dirty Dancing, man. I fucking love that movie. That's the first, like, when I turned 13 years old, I was like, I can now go to the VHS store and get an adult movie. And I don't know why I decided at 13 I could do that, considering I'd just been expelled for dealing in pornography at 12. But anyway, so I went down to the VHS store near my house. It was called Sangeeta Video. And Sangeeta Video, the old man who ran Sangeeta Video, had seen me grow up basically since a child. And I walked in and I said, "Today I am 13 years old." And he's like, "Congratulations, beta." And then I said, "I want an adult movie." And so he said, he obviously wasn't going to give me a porn or something like that. So he gave me Dirty Dancing. He's like, "It has dirty in the title." And I was like, "Fuck yes, this is going to be just people having sex. It'll be awesome." And I went home and it was just slow motion dancing. And I've had the time of my life. And I fucking fell in love with that movie. I watched it 1,000 times. I had the soundtrack. I still know the lyrics to She's Like the Wind, which is the song on the Dirty Dancing soundtrack, recorded and written by Patrick Swayze, the only song that Patrick Swayze ever sang himself, that we have recorded evidence of. I can sing that still. So I love fucking Dirty Dancing, man. And I got all excited, and I was at Shapiro's saw that on the big screen downstairs, and I ran upstairs, and then when it was my turn, I jumped up on stage and I said, "They're playing Dirty Dancing on the TV downstairs." And just a room full of blank, dull eyes blinked back at me, because they were all young fuckers who don't know what Dirty Dancing is. They haven't seen it. And I'm a middle-aged asshole who's completely out of time and place now. And they all just looked back at me, and I then yelled at them and berated them for easily 10 minutes about being useless pieces of shit for not knowing Dirty Dancing. And I think JD saw that, and he was like, you know, and then he saw me do a Fringe show, which is my regular hour-long scripted stand-up comedy show, and he said that I riff better than my written material. And here's the thing, I agree with him. I do agree with him. I love riffing. I get happiest when I don't have any material, when there's no pressure of doing material, and I can just get up on stage and just talk about whatever's happening in my head at the time and talk to the audience and kind of make it a whole experience, which is unique to that night. That if you miss that show, you can never live that experience again. I love that. But I don't know how to turn that into my act. I don't know if I want to even. Because your whole act, like if people come to see me, I feel, at a fringe show or something, or at a comedy gig where I'm headlining, they don't want to see me just do riffing for 45 minutes, right? They want to see written material. They want to see observations. Pardon. And those things. So I don't know. I'm very conflicted about that. The ideal situation would be to find a way of blending the two. Like Patrice O'Neill's special, Elephant in the Room, he opens his Comedy Central special by just doing crowd work and talking to the crowd. And he kind of weaves it in and out of his material. And it's really masterfully done. And so I think I'm going to try attempting that more. But anyway, I don't have video clips of myself doing crowd work. So I put that up on my Facebook because I liked it. And in the thing, I do a joke about Bill Shorten, the opposition leader. Because one of the things about Bill Shorten is that he had rape allegations against him for a period of time. He is apparently a known philanderer, like he's had affairs, and he might have gotten one of his staffers pregnant. And it's quite amazing when you see him, because the man has zero charisma and personality. He can't even talk. Like, he's the worst public speaker I've ever seen. He should be going to Donald Trump for lessons in public speaking. He's that bad. And yet somehow he's convinced these women to have sex with him, which I don't know how he did that without some, you know, Bill Cosby bullshit going on, but he did. And so, you know, Bill Shorten apparently raped someone when he was young in 1986 or something, as when he was a member of the Youth Liberal Party, and the rape happened. And why are these guys always members of, like, the Youth Political Parties? When you're young, when you're like 18 or 20 years old, who joins a fucking political party at that age? What kind of personality devoid asshole does that? Go live your life, have fun. Like, even if you're missing out on socializing and you need a way of socializing, like just join a Dungeons and Dragons league or something. Who the fuck joins a young political party? Like, that's just, I've never met, only sociopaths do that kind of shit. And so obviously he joined that, and apparently there's a woman there who he raped, and there were witnesses. And the woman pointed out the allegations when he was the, heading up the labor unions as part of the labor party. And she said voiced the allegations, and the cops apparently did the investigation. And then there's controversy because she said the cops didn't do a good investigation and that they actually let him know that it was happening so that he could cover his ass, and they didn't interview any of the witnesses. He says obviously he was cleared of everything and it's all good to go. So the weird part is that no one talks about this. When the leader of the opposition party has rape allegations against him, you'd think the opposition, you'd think the other party and the news and media would fucking have a field day with that, but they don't in Australia for some reason, which I found very strange. When you Google it also, not very much comes up. And so I did a stand-up bit about it, where I said that and the joke, I know it's kind of inappropriate, but I quite inappropriate, actually, probably. I should probably not do it ever again. I riffed it. Honestly, that was just it. I was in the moment and I kind of riffed it. And sometimes you can't control what's coming out of your head. And I said that the Bill Shorten had rape allegations against him that not many people know about. And everyone says that the allegations were dropped because it's a conspiracy. But I think what actually happened is that the police interviewed Bill Shorten and they found that he could not have raped anyone, because even rape requires some level of commitment, was the joke. Because it was basically saying that Bill Shorten is so devoid of any level of commitment to any issue, topic, or anything that he couldn't even do this. And I get it, all right? Don't fucking start writing an email or bouncing up on Tumblr and shit. I know what it sounds like. So anyway, I did that. But the weird thing that happened is somehow that then got seen by the woman who made the rape claim and the people around her, her supporters, and then they started popping up on my Facebook and just posting evidence and long transcripts you know, of conversations they've had with, like, Paul Sheehan, like, the editor of, I think, the Australian newspaper and stuff like that, and just where everyone apparently is. Just weird conspiracy theory stuff and detailed conversations and outrage and just, you know, trying to somehow get me to, I guess, turn this into a one-man show about how Bill Shorten's a rapist and the police let him get away with it. I don't know what kind of fringe show that would be. But yeah, it's still weird on my Facebook fan page wall. Like, I stopped going there after a while. Like, this is just going out of control. So that was an interesting kind of repercussion of the whole thing. And then that was it. I haven't done any more shows since then. I didn't even get to try the new material, which is going to be a problem because Rotterfest is tomorrow. I'm heading to Rottnest Island, where we have the weekend for the whole festival. And I don't have, I think I haven't polished up maybe 10, 15 minutes of material that is unpolished. It's only been tested once at an open mic. And then I've lost another 7 minutes of material because Abbott is no longer the Prime Minister. It's all about that. So I'm going to have to maybe work in the riffing and the crowd work and all that into the main act because I don't know. Let's see. I have to give people the money's worth. It should be fun. I'm excited about it, even though I hate quokkas. I can't stand the fuckers. I hate them. I hate them so much. Everyone's like, oh, quokkas, they're so cute. Like, I know, if you don't know what a quokka is, Q-U-O-K-K-A, Google it. It's the world's cutest animal. BuzzFeed publishes a fucking listicle of how they're the cutest thing on earth every 5 minutes. Whenever there's a slow news day, BuzzFeed publishes a new fucking listicle about quokkas. But here's the thing. To me, they look like giant rats. And I'm not the first person, by the way. It's called Rottnest Island because when the Dutch landed there, like, 150 years ago, 200 years ago, they thought the quokkas were giant rats as well, and so they called it Rottnest, rat's nest, because apparently all of the Dutch language is basically you replace the A with the O, and then that's all you need to do. And so you go there, and they hop around, but they look like giant hopping rats. Like, it's really, I don't like them at all. I find them, they give me the heebie-jeebies, and they're all over the island, like in numbers that should not. Like, that are horrifying. So I keep in groups. I don't stray from the herd in case any of the quokkas get me. But it's fun. I'm looking forward to it. I've got four shows. I've got two of my solo shows, like 45 minutes each, back-to-back. And then two gala spots. Looking forward to that. I think I said that 35,000 times already in this podcast. So that's what's coming up this weekend. Last weekend, I went to... on Saturday, I took Anya to Cirque du Soleil. We haven't seen that yet. It's been kind of happening. On last Sunday, I think we did that, where it was just a spur-of-the-moment thing. And I spent way too much money on tickets, but we were also right near the front. Great seats. I'm financially hurting from spending on that, but totally worth every penny. Gonna fucking do it again next time they come to town, because it really was. I went in and I was like, yeah, it'll be acrobats and they'll be wearing lycra and whatever. And no, it was magical, man. It was some amazing stuff. Like, it really touched me. It really did. Like, that, they jump incredibly high, and obviously that's not impressive in and of itself, but they also land after jumping incredibly high. But more importantly, they have a theme and a story, and it was beautifully choreographed, and there are moments when you genuinely are frightened for the people doing the stuff, and it's quite cool. And strangely erotic in places where, like, they're, like, basically dry humping the shit out of each other while somersaulting through the air and cartwheeling through hoops. And then everyone's ripped. No one has any body fat. Every man who comes out has 13 abs going from his navel all the way up to his chin. Every woman who comes out is just looks like she'd been chiseled out of marble. Just fucking great. Enjoy the hell out of it for all the right and wrong reasons. We got to see Cirque du Soleil. That was pretty cool. And then the politics, man. God damn it, I was so happy with the politics. I'm so happy. Like, right now, everyone's like, Australians overall, it's a good thing to have mandatory voting in this country, by the way, because this is a country that could not give two fucks about voting at all and about the election process and everything. I mean, right now, they've had five prime ministers, or is there four prime, well, let's see, they had, after, in 2007, John Major finished, and then they had Kevin Rudd, then they had Julie Gillard, then they had Kevin Rudd, then they had Tony Abbott, and now they've had Malcolm Turnbull. That's five prime ministers since 2007, which means the last time they had a prime minister who finished a full term was before the iPhone was unveiled, which was also unveiled in 2007. And, sorry about that, that's disgusting, I just burped, that's horrible, I apologize profusely for that. And then what else have they had? And now we've got an election coming up probably end of next year. If Malcolm Turnbull's smart, that's when he'll keep it. And if he loses to the opposition, which is very unlikely right now, if the opposition keeps Bill Shorten in position, because nobody is voting for Bill Shorten. Even Bill Shorten wouldn't vote for Bill Shorten. And if he loses that, Malcolm Turnbull, then there'll be six prime ministers since 2007, which is, those are third world country numbers, man. That's your, the only reason you should have for having six prime ministers in like, what, 8 years, is if you're a small African nation where the military and the oligarchy are jockeying for power, and there've been at least two ethnic cullings so far. I want a fucking machete as someone's, you know, political flag before I get a sixth prime minister. That's the very least I can ask for out of Australia, is if you're going to do it right. Like, I remember, like, the 1990s in Pakistan, when we had, after Ziaul Haq, you know, exploded unceremoniously over the desert, we had Benazir Bhutto, and then after 2.5 years, I think, we had Nawaz Sharif. And then after another 2.5 to 3 years, we had, 3 years, we had Benazir Bhutto again. Then again, after 2 years, we had Nawaz Sharif again. And then we had Musharraf. But that was over 11 years. We had, I think, from 1989 to 1999. So 10 years, we had five changes of government. One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, five changes of government. And but at least it was largely the same two people for most of it. And again, it's Pakistan. It's a developing nation, or a third world country, as it should be more accurately called. And it was a mess. But man, Australia, what the fuck, dude? Like, you guys need to get your shit together. It's quite crazy when you think about it, that they've had so many changes and they've only had one election in that time. Or like, two elections that time. So the people have only actually technically voted for maybe Tony Abbott and maybe Kevin Rudd once. Quite a remarkable feat for Australia to have pulled off. But yeah, it's been an exciting... I love that shit, man. You know me. Honest to God, I was so happy. I was analysing it and theorising and stuff. Because, like, political analysts, they don't post any predictions, because their jobs depend on being right, and a prediction would require you to take a chance. And so 90% of the time, they don't actually do that. But that's why I think the radio and stuff would come to me every now and then. I don't give a shit. What are you going to do? Take away my job where I'm performing in front of 10 people in a bar? Like, no one can take that away from me. So they can ask me and I'll make predictions. And I predicted a lot of it correctly. I'm just going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say that. I predicted a lot of it correctly. Right now, there's rumors of an upcoming coup maybe in Pakistan. Apparently, there's already been a soft coup against the Sharif government. And now there might be a hard coup against him as well by Raheel Sharif, the chief army staff. And I predicted that too on the BBC Brief History of Pakistan, Beginner's Guide to Pakistan radio documentary. That prediction is there, that this might just happen because the guy has a mustache. That's what I base my political analysis on. But yeah, that, by the way, is airing on the 30th of September, episode 1. There's two episodes, like I said. Episode 1 airs 30th September on the BBC on Radio 4 in London. It'll also be on the BBC iPlayer for 1 week, which I don't know if you can actually listen to outside of England. I don't think you can. But they will also make it available and as a downloadable podcast on the BBC podcast, you know, output. So yeah, I guess the best way to catch that would be a podcast. Episode 2 will air a week after that, but it won't be podcasted, which I think is a damn shame, because that's the one I'm really proud of. I think it's more beautifully written and structured and even edited. I think Ed Morris did a fantastic job with that one. And then that's that. And then I think a week or two after that, October 23rd and 24th is when my QI episode airs. And I'm currently talking to a few people about maybe going to London in January. Who knows? Might happen for a project. Might not. If it does, you guys will be the first to know. Or maybe you won't. Who the fuck are you? Why should I tell you anything? Huh? Anyway, And that's been pretty much it. This has been Sami Shah. Oh, yeah. You can find me at twitter.com/SamiShah, samishah@gmail.com, www.samishah.com, facebook.com/samishah.fans. All of it is Sami Shah, is SamiShah. And yeah, this has been Sami Shah. You've been listening to Sami Says.